Anyway, now it's time for our question of the week with Diana O'Carroll.
This week, how illuminating can lights be at light speed?
Hi, my name's Larry Knight, and my question is, what would happen if you were driving at light speed and you switch your headlights on? What about a lit torch being carried at light speed? What would happen then?
But in physics lessons, we're told that the speed of light is constant in a vacuum, so can shining it whilst moving extra fast make any difference?
I'm Dominic Ford from the Department of Physics at Cambridge. Well, you probably had the experience at some point that a fire engine's driven past you, and as the fire engine's been driving towards you, you've heard it sound high-pitched. And as it's driven away from you, you've heard it sound low-pitched. And that happens because sound is a wave, and the Doppler effect says that the frequency is changed when you're moving relative to the source of the sound. Now, light is also a wave, and so it also shows the Doppler effect. But you have to be travelling very much faster before you see any effect. So if you were driving your car at close to the speed of light, an external observer would see that your front headlights would appear more blue than normal and your rear taillights would appear more red than normal. The driver himself wouldn't actually see anything different from normal because he's not moving relative to the source of the light, just as the driver of a fire engine hears his siren at a constant pitch because he's not moving relative to the siren. Looking out the window, though, the driver would be moving relative to any landscape that he was moving past, and he would see objects in front of him appear bluer than normal and objects behind him appearing redder than normal. Of course, if things move very much faster, for example, a plane moving at close to the speed of sound, you get a sonic boom, and you get a similar effect with light. But unfortunately, Einstein's theory of special relativity says that you need infinite energy to make something move at the speed of light, and so you can never actually get there and observe that effect. There is one exception, which is when a relativistic particle travels in a material like glass, in which light travels at slightly less than the speed of light. Sounds ironic, but it's true. When the particle produces some radiation called Cherenkov radiation, which appears as a flash rather like the visual equivalent of a sonic boom.
To the driver, if he or she had infinite energy and hadn't imploded by then, the lights would look perfectly normal. To an observer, there would be a colour shift with bluer headlights and red taillights becoming, well, more red, if that's possible. And objects which do move faster than the speed of light will produce this Cherenkov effect, the sonic boom of the light world, and you can see it as a blue glow in some nuclear reactor chambers. On our forum, Diver John was right in there with the Doppler shift analogy, and JP also threw in the red-blue changes. JP also added some links to computer simulations which can show you what you might see when travelling like a relativistic particle, and you can find those at thenakedscientists.com/forum in the QOTW thread. Next week, what would you see if you were a dog?
Hi, I'm Tom from Wales, and I'd like to know why dogs can't watch old-style CRT TVs, and can they watch newer TVs like plasmas or LCDs?
Does your dog like detective dramas, current affairs or comedy? Let us know what you think the answer is by emailing chris@thenakedscientists.com or by writing on the forum, and the address is thenakedscientists.com/forum.
Thank you very much, Diana. That was Diana O'Carroll with our question of the week. You can find that online at thenakedscientist.com/QOTW or as its own podcast by searching for Question of the Week on iTunes. Now, sadly, that's all we have for this week. Many thanks to Kelvin Kem, Robinson Fulweiler, Graham Hurst answering all of your laser questions, and David Carberry for joining us this week, and to our production team, Mira Senthilingam, Dave Ansell, Tom Simpkins, and Sarah Castor-Perry. Next week, we are celebrating some seriously small structures. We'll be finding out how nanostructures could help us safely store and access hydrogen, as well as looking at the nanostructures that form in batteries, both good ones and the bad ones. Get your questions in to chris@thenakedscientists.com, and we'll be back with you next week.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientists.com.